I'm really pleased to be with you this morning. But you know, it's always that little bit of kind of nerves, a little bit of anxiety when you're here. But what is lovely is that I'm going to be talking about us today. And so as I bring to you the scripture reading, I want you to know that you are a light. You have been a light in many people's lives. And that's fulfilling what God's called of us. So our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 5. It's, you know, the chapter of the Beatitudes. And it's verses 14 to 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, go on, let your light shine, and let it shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, and then glorify" who? "Glorify your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless us as we shine, and we allow others to glorify God through that shining. Amen. Of the two of us here, Sharon and myself, which do you think is more musical? Yep, Sharon definitely is more musical. So if we were to think about talents, who has the gift of music? That's not difficult, is it? Thank you for your gift of music. How many people here play the piano? Oh, that's it, Zoe. Thank you. And Julius and Kuna. Okay. Yeah, that's good. And Daniil's got his hand up. There's a certain gentleman who hasn't got his hand up. Oh, thank you. Yes. You've got your hand up. You play the piano. Good. How many of you that play the piano would consider yourself musical? This is a sense of modesty prevailing. Okay, Stanil's got his hand up. That's very good. Oh, Zoe, no? It's modesty. It's one of the things that we have in our British culture is a high level of modesty. Well, good morning and welcome to you. We're going to be talking about gifts. And we're talking about not just a gift that is given and then is used and that's it, but a gift that has the potential to give not just once, but twice, three times, and can continue giving, and can give beyond the time that you have received it, and beyond your own personal sphere. So as we think about that, I'd like you to just join with me in a word of prayer. Loving Jesus, we are so thankful that you have blessed us. And we, as we look at that this morning, want to commit our blessing and our gifts to you. Help us to know and to understand and to feel comfortable and able to do so because it is your Spirit leading and guiding us. So it's become really popular in the 21st century in our Western world to give ethical gifts, hasn't it? I mean, gifts that have more meaning and do good. Gifts that aren't just for the immediate. So you might get a gift that's a reusable gift bag. But much more than that, you might get a card in which there is a donation to planting a tree in a forest. Or you give a donation to helping women in Cambodia learn sewing or men to learn particular skills. There are other gift cards where me as a recipient, if I were to get that, I've got the card, it says there's £20 here, and I choose where I donate that to. Because I might want it to go to work with children or medical work somewhere. But there are also those gifts that are about experiences. So gifts that leave memories. You know, I remember when my nephews and nieces were younger, I'd try and do those gifts that left experiences. That's because I'd go back to their mum and dad and might forget their auntie. So we'd go, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? And we would do something. And they left me memories as well. Sometimes it's memories of very simple things en route to the experience where we had pirate picnics in the car because it was too cold to go outside. But we'd still buy our little goodies and we'll still sit in the car somewhere nice and we'd eat our food, then we'd run and do something. How many people have been given a subscription to a magazine, maybe? Yes? Yes? Lovely. Or a professional journal. So let me ask you, and I do want you to answer me, what is the most lasting gift you have received? What is it? Shout out, tell me. Sunil, what's the most lasting gift you've received? A book. Yes, because you can read it again and again and again. Thank you. Others? Okay, and have you read it? Oh, very good. Lovely. So Stanil's had a book. How many people have had a book or something else that is a lasting gift? Tell me. Plants, lovely. Plants for the garden. Thank you, Francis. Steve? You've had several books too. Very good. Oh. Depends how much I can respond to that. But Deirdre got a Bible for her 21st birthday, which was 7.5 years ago, and she's still using it. Anybody else got a Bible that they're still using? That's a nice one that lasts. Yes, yes, Beryl has. Very good. And, okay, so what about this question that I would like you to answer? If you wanted to give a gift that would benefit someone, and maybe even others, what would you give? Or what would you suggest somebody gave? So, give me an answer. A gift that would benefit that person, not just for then, but beyond, and even possibly benefit other people. What would you give them? Do you have another one, Stanil? What would you give? You would give a book. So you've had a book, that's good, and you'd do that. Okay, Steve. Very nice. The gift of friendship. That would be a beautiful one. A really beautiful one. Because you know there are some people, I will come to you, Jojo. There are some people who don't have friends. I remember the story about the star Jackie Onassis, who had to pay her ex-husband to come and spend time with her. Pay him. So, that's a beautiful one. Jojo? You'd give bracelets, okay? So something pretty that can be worn again and again and again. Okay, very good. Well, let's hone in a little bit. Of the many gifts that you received for Christmas, which is now, what, 13 days ago, which are the ones that you have used and which are the ones even now you can identify that you would not use? So, which are the gifts that you have used for Christmas? Again, I would like an answer. Cheryl. Your time. Oh, interesting one. Very good. Beryl.
A very old photograph of the Hemel First members who helped build all this. And it was sent me in this side, all the ones that did it.
Wow.
And I've passed it on.
Have you? That's a lovely thing. That's the sort of thing that should go in the church archives as well. What a beautiful thing. Yes. Lovely. Anybody else? Okay, what have you... the chocolates. Sorry, Sharon, did you... Minds are aligning. Minds are aligning. So you've had chocolate. It's a kind of... See, Karen Wimbo, if Karen Wimbo was here, what do we know she would have had for Christmas? Chocolates. She'd have definitely had chocolates. So are your chocolates eaten yet? Yes, is that guilty look. So vouchers. We gave vouchers to our nephews and nieces, and I'm sure some of those have already been cashed in. What about shoes? Anybody received any shoes or trainers? Ah, somebody did get trainers. Michael, what did you get for Christmas? School shoes. See, I don't think that's right. But we won't go there because his mother's with him. Sorry, I'll come to you. And then we've got both Michaels. What you got? You got trainers. Have you worn them yet? Yes. Very good. Well, thank you for those of you who've joined in and helped us to have a sense of the different gifts. So, last opportunity on the personal gifts. Let's think a little further back to your last birthday. What has been a blessing to you and a blessing to others? Your last birthday? So mine was in August. Paul, yours was in December. So think about that. Somebody tell me, what's been a blessing to them from their last birthday presents? Steve? Memories of a trip to Canada. Lovely. Yes. Very nice. So, do you know, God invites us to give of the gifts that he has given to us. And so, I wonder if you've ever had that pleasant surprise of using a gift only to realize it was far more useful than you ever expected. Now, if you were in the junior class last week, somebody told us that they received a gift of a pair of boots. They opened the boots, they looked at the boots, and they thought, I don't like these. They were given from a significant person, but they didn't like them, put them down, and wasn't that appreciative of the boots, put them down, carried on wearing their shoes and enjoyed that. And then when their shoes were a little bit worn and needed repair, they thought, I might just wear those boots. Put their foot in the boot. It was beautiful and comfortable. Wore it. It was so lovely. They were warm, well-fitting and comfortable, and with absolute shame they had to go back to the giver and say, I'm so sorry, these boots, wow, they are lovely. And at which point the grace of that giver was able to say, well, that's why I bought them for you. I think I might have been a tad more vocal in what I said. But you know, God has given every one of us gifts that continue to give again and again and again. And gifts that will grow with use and are designed to keep on giving. So imagine if you could find out what your spiritual gift was. Now, tell me, how many people here know what their spiritual gifts are? Okay, so that's three of us so far. We've got Gaynor, and we've got Cheryl, and we've got myself. Does that mean the rest of us don't know or are unsure about our spiritual gifts? Well, let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. Because the Apostle Paul describes gifts there, and he describes them this way. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord gives them. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Well, what are spiritual gifts then? Well, they're the range of abilities that believers are given from God for the benefit of children both inside of the church and outside of the church. And you know, there are as many gifts as there are needs. There are as many gifts as there are need. There's a spiritual gift assessment that identifies over 26 gifts. Sound a lot to you? I don't think it covers all of them. In a little bit, I might tell you why I think that's the case. So, and there are the skills needed to fulfill the mission of the church. That's what the gifts are. You know what they are? They're the aptitude or the ability, something that you excel at, something you do well. And you know, when you do it well and when you're using your skills, other people benefit. That's what spiritual gifts are. But I want you to note something about spiritual gifts, in that they can change and they can develop. And they do that because they are God-given and they're not limited by time or place. I did my spiritual gift assessment, and I'll share a bit of that with you in a little bit. So every believer, that's you, that's me, that's Paul, that's Cheryl, that's Tyler at the back, and that lovely Helen, every believer, that's everyone who belongs to Jesus, has the presence and power of the Holy Spirit working in and through them. And the Christian life is just about that, about allowing God, allowing Christ himself to live in and through us, because he's our healer in our time of need, because he dwells in us. He's living in and with us at all times. Now, Galatians 2:20, does anybody know what Galatians 2:20 says? You might know it from your memory verses, and I'm quite happy for you to find it. What does Galatians 2:20 say? Can somebody tell me?
I've been crucified with Christ, and I do not believe that Christ lives in me. Life I live in the body, and live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me.
That's right. It's one of those seminal texts, isn't it? I have been crucified in Christ, and it's not me that still lives. It's not me and my wants and desires, but it is Christ. I am living out Christ living in me. And the Apostle Paul prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That's Ephesians 3, verse 17. But how do you find out what your spiritual gifts are? Because only three of us had our hands up. I did take note. Three of us had our hands up. And I want to give you just three ways in which you can find out your spiritual gifts. But let me just ask you first, how many of you would like to know what your spiritual gifts are? That's great. Fabulous. So let's look at these three ways then. The first way is prayer and study about what God says about gifts in his word. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to find out, let's start with asking God. Let's start with praying and studying. And where do we look? Well, we look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So if you open your Bible at 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to take a number of those verses there. I'm also going to draw some from Ephesians 4, verse 12, and 1 Peter 4, verse 10. But let's start at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. So when you look, when you scan these verses there, it tells us that each believer is given one gift. Now, how many of us, and this really is about us, this what I'm speaking about is about us, how many of us believe we have one gift? Just nod your head. Just nod your head that we have one gift, at least one. At least one gift. Yes, we have at least one gift. Every believer is given at least one gift. And then in verse 11 of that chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it tells us the Holy Spirit determines who receives which gifts. What that means is that I haven't determined my gifts. Because if I determined my gifts, guess what I would like to have as a gift? I would like to reflect that. And one time I was talking to Beryl. I was saying to Beryl how I'd like to sing. You may not remember this, Beryl, but it was words of wisdom. I'd love to be able to sing. I'd love to be able to sing well. I was a tad embarrassed last week. I was sitting and singing, or standing singing, behind the lovely Pastor Hodges, who I find out later knows when people change in tones and clips. So I'm never going to sit or stand and sing behind him again. But I was talking to Beryl, and I said, oh, I'd love to be able to sing. And Beryl said, but you do other things well. You don't have to do everything. You do the things well that are given to you, and you can be satisfied with that. And it did help me, Beryl. It did help me. It doesn't mean I won't sing, but I can be satisfied with my gifts, even though I desire something else. And God has given us gifts for a purpose. We'll find out a little bit more of that. But each gift is equally valuable. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26 will reflect that for you. And we are to use our gifts to serve others and to benefit the body of Christ. And we are commanded to use our gifts. That's 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Literally commanded to use our gifts. And you know what? Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, exercising our gifts will help us develop spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to think about that. Would you like spiritual maturity? I hope you would. And the Bible is telling us that there is a way in which we can do that. So that's the first one, that we can learn and know what our gifts are by praying and studying the Word of God. The second one is a beautiful way of learning, and it involves us. So we can discuss with other believers what they identify as your spiritual gifts and talents. Now, you see, Beryl didn't realize that she was doing that to me when she was reinforcing those things that I do and I like doing and I believe I do well. Yes? And by sharing that with me, that helped me in what I have as my spiritual gifts. And if you want to know, I'll tell you a little bit later. So, God uses other believers and specific opportunities to affirm the gifts that he has given us. And I want you to think for yourself, when has God used somebody else to affirm the gifts that you have? Because there are lots of gifts in this room. So, Pat, I'm going to pick on you. You have the gift of cooking, and cooking in large numbers. And you have blessed us, haven't you, with that cooking? And that's been a real blessing to us. And I really thank you for that. Now, Steve, oh my word, what beautiful decorations. But not only that, he has more than one gift. Some of the ways in which he has cared for our parquet floors, that's a gift too. Well, we know Sharon's gifts. You have a gift of music and also teaching the children, because you were able to bring back to their memory, let your little light shine. So think about that. What gifts have you got? What about some of the young people? Tavona's not here, so I'm going to pick on her. Can anybody think of one of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, that Tavona has? If you ask her to do something, what will she always offer to do? Bit louder? Pray. That's right. Thank you. So Paul and Gloria know that. Tavona has the gift of prayer. She will always pray. And that's great, because her mother does not have that. And the mother's quite honest about that, isn't she? So, discussing and exploring your gifts with another fellow Christian is a really good way of learning what your gifts are. And then a third way that I'm going to offer you is to prayerfully complete a spiritual gift assessment test. Now, I've done that. Has anybody done that? Anybody here ever had the opportunity of going through a spiritual assessment test? No? Paul has? Anybody else? Okay. Well, I did. So here's my results. Can you guess what my spiritual gifts are? Because this is the second point. Somebody, what might my spiritual gifts be? A bit louder, come on. Teaching, leadership, communication. Thank you. Yes. Encouragement. He knows. So, when I did my spiritual assessment, and if you want to do it, Paul's agreed to put it in the bulletin next week, so you can prayerfully think about what your gifts might be, and then you can complete this as well. So, the top ones were faith. That's an interesting one. And you know, to be honest, there is a belief that everybody has the gift of faith. And then encouragement and knowledge. Now, I would have thought teaching as well. It didn't come up as high, but it was still fairly high. And previously, when I did my previous one, this is a long time ago when I was at Oxford Church, and I wrote it in my Bible, there were three spiritual gifts I had: friendship, faith, and hospitality. Now, the hospitality didn't come up on this one, and it does exist. It's still a good number, but not as high as the others. What does that say? Friendship didn't come up, but it doesn't even exist on this test. So the tests may be different. But when I share with you that mine are faith, encouragement, and knowledge, if I were to discuss that with you, would you affirm those as spiritual gifts I might have? Yes, thank you. So that's another way of doing that. But be mindful with those tests, because what those tests might do is to identify how God has used you since you've become a Christian, but God is able to move and draw you into other areas that you may not feel that you have the skills for, but with his skill, with his spirit, he's able to enable you to do really extraordinary things. And you'd be in good company, wouldn't you? Because who do we know says that I struggle with this weakness? I struggle with it, but in my weakness, God makes me strong. Who says that? The Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he encourages us by saying, "But he," that is God, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So one thing to hold is that your gift will help you grow in Christ-likeness. Now, spiritual gifts are not about relying on our own strength, because if we do, then we look to us for the credit. They're about relying on Christ's strength, because if we rely on Christ's strength, then we give him glory and honor. And so it isn't about how will I use my gifts, but ask yourself, how does God want to use the gifts he has given me? That's where the power and the strength is. He's given and he's empowered you to use that. But always remember that God can develop new gifts for you for his own purpose. Question is, what should I do with these gifts? So what should I do with my gifts? Sorry?
I would like to say that Steve has marvellous gifts, spiritual gifts, with what he does for the children.
Yes.
More than decorations.
Yes.
And floors.
Yes.
He has done a terrific work with the children.
And that's right. Thank you, Beryl. That is right. Because I only picked out a few of Steve's gifts. But that is a very strong one. And I think the young people would affirm that as well. So the craft, where I love being with Steve when he's teaching the children, because I learn as well. Thank you. So what should you do with your gifts then? So I'm going to encourage you to look for an opening in the church. Look for somewhere in our church life that calls for your spiritual gifts. I want you to allow God to lead you into situations where your gifts are needed. And I want you to apply your gifts prayerfully and let them develop with practice. And do remember that gifts are to be given away. Gifts, spiritual gifts, are gifts that continue to benefit you, God, and others. So, you know, when God designed gifts, he had his church in mind. And so it's no surprise that these gifts are beautifully applied in the church life. So let's go back to a church. How might we know that our church here in Hemel is healthy? How might we know that? Well, the Bible does tell us that by our fruits we are known. And so a few months ago, you may remember, we completed the natural church development survey. Do you remember that? We all stayed and we filled in a whole series of questions that asked us. And it gave us really rich insights into how we are at Hemel. And it helped us to know where in Hemel we are naturally good, where our gifts are shining, and where we might need to develop. So I'd like to share the results for you. And as I share those results, I'd like you to look out for your characteristics, the things that reflect your spiritual gift and contribute to our identity as a church. Now, the reason we do the NCD is not about showing what's good or bad, but to reflect how we are leading and reflecting God's purpose for us here in our local community. And it gives us really helpful information about what comes naturally to us in our ministry and where we might need to develop. So please remember, though, that the NCD that I will share with you now assesses how healthy our church is, and it's an empirical way of showing how we are focusing on our mission. The results I want to help us to be able to look objectively as the range of our activities that serve us as a body of believers and help us to minister and serve our community. So, I have a few slides. Can you see that okay? So I'm going to show you what years of research into church ministry, both in Adventism and other faiths, show us are the core characteristics of a healthy church. And then, how do we fare here in Hemel Church? There's lots of information in this, so I'm only going to pull out five areas that we can celebrate and maintain, and then five that we need to develop. And together they affirm some really beautiful and positive aspects of how we contribute to a healthy church and areas we need to work together in developing. So, NCD, based on principles of church health, and they're universally applicable. And they are drawn from being theologically at the heart of what Christianity is about. So they stand on two pillars. And the first pillar is one of proof. And so there's a desire to get something that is empirical, that's really factual, that's strong and measurable, that we can know. And then another desire, the other pillar, is about it being theologically, biblically sound. And it's not about denominations, it's about biblically, what are we as Christians called to do? So, there are eight characteristics, and if you see that the ones around the top are in bold, loving, empowering, effective, gift-based, needs-led, these are the adjectives that we look at and measure for us as a church. But the ones underneath, about the relationships, leadership, the structures, ministry, evangelism, worship, spirituality, small groups, it's recognized that those happen in any church and everywhere. The issue is, what are they like in our church? What are they like here for us in Hemel Hempstead? So this is what it's like for us. Now, when we did our survey, it looked at, see this grey line here? That's what the average is. And then our previous survey in 2017 is this dotted line. But last year, in 2018, the results, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. The results are this heavy line. And do you know what it tells us? It tells us that first and foremost, we have a passionate spirituality here in Hemel. You know, we are committed, we are keen in our study and our worship. And what we're told by NCD is that rating being the top is well envied by other denominations. This is pretty standard and consistent for Adventism, our passionate spirituality. And the next is that we have inspiring worship services. But right at the bottom is that we need to be need orientated in our evangelism. And I'll go through that in a little bit more. But essentially, this is us. We have a very strong hold on faith. Does that sound true to you here in Hemel? We have a very strong hold on faith. And that's typical for us as Adventists. And the Lord bless you for that. And I just want you to just hold and celebrate, because faith is what we're all about, isn't it? That belief, that trust in God. So we looked at our 10 highest characteristics, and out of those, here are our top five. So we believe, and we hold this firmly, which is lovely, that the Bible is a powerful guide for our everyday life. Yes? You can acknowledge and agree with me. So the Bible is a powerful guide for our everyday life. And then we say that we actually enjoy private reading of the Bible. For us in Hemel, that came out as really nice and strong. We also enjoy the coming together and the studying of the Bible. That was strong. And we know that other church members pray for us regularly. So if you didn't know that, I want you to leave with that thought, that you are prayed for and you are loved. And that's one of our strengths and one of the beautiful things about us here in Hemel. And we also know that God works and is able to bring transforming influence to all aspects of our lives. So as Christians, in our school life, in our work life, in our family life, God is working and is transforming. It's a beautiful thing. The fifth thing that is really strong and powerful about us is that we often tell other Christians how God has blessed us. So I want you to stop and think for a moment. Has God blessed you? Yeah. Have you shared that with someone? Typically we do, which is beautiful. And do that again and again. Because one of the things I remember non-Christians tell us is what makes a difference to them about Christianity is how it has made a difference in the life of somebody that they know and trust and love. So some really beautiful things there. We also have some areas for improvement. So here are the areas in which we could improve. We could do more evangelism. Is that? Yes? So evangelism is at the heart of Christianity. There's nothing more precious and sacred than going out and helping others to know about Christ and to be part of this body. So if we're enjoying these things here in the body of Christ, being able to bring others in to enjoy that is what this is about, isn't it? As we're told, go, preach, teach, baptizing, bring into the fold. So another area for improvement is being more involved in small groups. So the concept of small groups are coming together and having the opportunity to nurture our heads and our hearts and our hands. And that's an area of improvement we can do. We want you to feel a part of our church. Do you know, the largest church that exists in this world is where? I asked Paul this question and he knew it. Where would you say in the world would you find the largest church? The continent? Well, it's Korea. Do you know what their membership is? It's about 500,000. 500,000. Now, somebody said that to the minister there, I can't imagine being in a church that large. Can anybody imagine a church of 500,000? That I'd be worried about anonymity. I'd be worried that I wouldn't be known. I wouldn't know anybody. And the pastor said, well, that's not something anybody's ever complained about. And the reason they haven't complained about that is that because they have groups where their members come together in not more than 12. And so nearly all of the membership is part of a group of not more than 12. And they can share with others. It's not just about the size. It's about our ability to come together and be supported and nurtured by one another. The other area is being willing to try new things. Now, when I did my spiritual assessment, I didn't come up very high as being creative at all. Our church needs individuals who are warm and are creative and are able to help us try new things. The truth of the gospel message will never, ever change. But how we share it, how we bring others to an understanding of it, how we help others to feel blessed by it, that will change. And that may require spiritual gifts that are not currently being used by us. And then the fourth one is being able to have a clear vision of where we are going. Now, any group, any community, if they're going to be successful, needs to know where they are going and how they're going to get there. And so that's an area that Pastor Nathan Stickland and the elders recognize that we need to be better at. And what I want to ask you is to prayerfully help us identify, well, where, how, what should that vision contain and reflect? And then the last one is being able to share our joys and our needs with others. So one minister for whom this area was a gap for them looked at, well, what could they do? And what he started to do was to ask his members, have you experienced anything meaningful that you would like to share with me? It was a simple question. And people started to share and to ask each other that question. You know, there are things that are happening in each of our lives that if we were to share, then between us, we would be able to help bring joy and encouragement and support to one another. And I want to encourage you in that. So for us here, we have many gifts. I know the gifts are there within individuals. We have a really loving family. That's absolutely there. As we go into 2019, I want to encourage you to see the challenges that are here in our church and to hold on to the words in the Bible and to just allow those words to direct you so that our challenges of greater service, because Christ has said the poor will always be with us, and there are things that we can do to them. There may be a gift that you have that can help us to meet those needs. We also have not just service as a challenge, but to evangelism that's need-orientated. So what would you identify that our community needs that we could help to offer? Because Christ has called us to give of ourselves, to give so that others may know him as well as having their needs met. And I'd like to prayerfully ask you to do this. To ask God to just show you your gifts and to enable you and me to use our gifts in the running of our church and in the witness and ministry to our community. That's what I'd like to ask you to do. Because you know what? I know that that's going to bless you. It will help you in your journey to be more Christ-like. It will draw us together as a Christian family. It will help us meet the needs of the community around us. And you know, it will bless the heart of our Savior, who has called us to go, share, love, witness, teach, preach, bless, be a blessing to others. So I leave you with this, and I encourage you by the grace of God that the gifts, and it is plural, that you have, that you will for 2019 take hold of them, because the Lord has blessed you for a purpose. Share them because they're gifts for sharing. Keep sharing them because there need not be any end to them. And thank you for being a blessing to me and to others this year and beyond. God bless you. Thank you.